Log Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Excuse me. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Reverend Ray. Amen. We are broadcasting from, from my home. And amen. Down there by Richmond. Amen. When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Today's broadcast, of course, is the Bread of Life. I'm Reverend Ray. Reverend Robin should be joining me in a few minutes. And what we're going to talk about today, and this is probably a series, I don't know what direction it's going, but I was talking to Reverend Robin earlier about some different things, is understanding grace and law, okay, and how they are connected. And I'm going to probably get into a lot of detail about grace and law. So what I want to do is I want to encourage you to tag or to copy or to get in contact with someone, because I believe this is going to bless you, and I believe this is going to set a lot of people free that may have a misunderstanding about grace and law. Amen. So before we do the prayer, I just want to remind everybody about a different broadcast that goes on during the week. Amen. Of course, we have History Bound in Grace, which is every Tuesday at 2 p.m. at 7 p.m. Declaring the finished work with Reverend Pat Randall is 12 noon. Amen. That's on Thursdays. Of course, I do Friday Night Joy with friends, and that's Fridays at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with the Reverend Ray. It's usually the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows: Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones. Amen. That's set up to be every first Monday of the month at 7 p.m., of course. Okay. And I got some feedback going on. All right. The Voting and Beautiful with Reverend Novena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Louis McEwen is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, the Body of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. In fact, they got a broadcast coming up next Sunday, every fourth Sunday. Our three Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Austin Green, Cleophas Malone, Tyrone Rose, Attorney Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. And the brothers got it together last week and got a chance to talk about the whole situation about Kirk Franklin and his son. I would encourage you to go back and listen to that particular broadcast. And then it definitely was a blessing. And not to bring judgment, don't care, Franklin, won't do, trying to do that. But we know that these things take place a lot in families, okay? And whether you save or unsave, unfortunately, sometimes there's all kinds of trials and tribulation that goes on within family. So we wanted to address that as men, okay? Real talk, you know, pulling off the covers, that kind of thing. Not bringing condemnation on anyone, but looking at it from perspective as believers on how we can do better and realize where we are, okay? Also want to remind you of Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon, amen. That's every Wednesday at 1 p.m., amen. This is a free conference call. The number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732 4-9-9. And this is a free conference call. Amen. Please, by all means, go and check out our website on wordchristianspeak.com. We got new things that we're trying to do with it. We're trying to bring you Zoom in a way so that you can actually see some of our faces. Some of the team is already doing that, so we thank God for that. Also, I want to encourage you also to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We do have that back up and running. I believe it was down for a little bit, but it is back up and running. You'll find all our different broadcasts also on there. We're going to probably do some other things on YouTube too. Get into that area of evangelism. I mean, we did it in the beginning. So there's a lot of new things that's going to take place in 2021, if God be willing. So, amen. So let's go ahead and get into prayer. We don't really have a lot of time, but we definitely want to get into this word for today. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for all that you're doing in our life. So today, Holy Spirit, we come and ask that you come and fill this place, God. You set the atmosphere, God. You speak either through myself or Reverend Robin, God. The words, God, the allegories and the mysteries that need to be said, God. We pray that understanding would begin to take place in the lives of your people, God. We pray for those, Lord Jesus, that in all different parts of the earth, God, that they may hear your word today and harden not their heart. That they may hear your word today, God, or even get healed or delivered, or God, or salvation might come into their life today, God. We thank you in advance for every miracle that will be done, every healing, every breakthrough, God, will that be done, not because we said or did anything, Lord Jesus, but because you did it. You get all the glory and all the honor, Lord Jesus. We will give you a yet praise. We forever thank you for all that you did. In Christ Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Amen. Again, my name is Reverend Ray. This is the Bread of Life. Amen. And Reverend Robin is with us. I see you're online. It's Understanding Grace and Love. Before we get started, Reverend Robin, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Reverend Ray. I thank God for the opportunity to come online with you. Looking forward to your word tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Robin. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and get started. The reason that I called Reverend Robin and everything, and actually someone had a little small short Bible study before we even joined and everything, because I'm going through my notes and going through different scriptures and everything. But the reason I wanted to make sure that I had her, bring her on, and to talk about grace and law, because there seemed to be a lot of misunderstanding about grace and law, okay? And what I mean by law, I'm talking about more than just the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about all the do's and do nots, all the commandments that God has given from all in the Old Testament, okay? And so there seemed to be some form of misunderstanding. So hopefully that we would do, with the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to explain that in detail. Now, I know for a fact, like I told Reverend Robin before, that we probably won't be able to complete it because it's a lot, you know, and it's a lot. It's a lot of information and everything. So let's go ahead and get started. And one of we looked at several scriptures, and I don't know how many, and I know Reverend Robin got quite a few. Okay, but I want to start off with this. Let me turn real quick. Okay, I want to start off actually with Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. And this is when someone, a lawyer, came and asked him a question. And verse 36, Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 says, he said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "That I shall love thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." And then Jesus gives him another one. He said, "And the second is like unto it." In other words, the second great commandment is like unto it. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 40 says, On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments, y'all, hang all the law. And one of the things that we was discussing before that, how those verses, all the law, you know, and everything is there, basically, and everything. Because if you can do those things, I believe, person, the thinking is that, no, I can't say that either, because you can't do the other things without grace. None of those things can take place without grace. Amen. Amen. But that was the one of the first chapter what I wanted to read. Now, I also want to get into Hebrews chapter 7, verses 19, okay? And the reason I want to do that, because Hebrews, Galatians, Ephesians, they all deal with law, but they all deal with grace. Amen. So the law was more or less written as a reminder. Let me see if I can find that particular scripture. Amen. Here we go, right? In fact, let's do Hebrews chapter 7 first, and then we'll do Galatians. But in verse 7, verse 19, it says, "For the law was made, the law made nothing perfect, but bringing in a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God, and so much as now without an oath, he has made a priest," talking about Jesus Christ. "For those priests were made without an oath, but this was the oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent that thou art a priest, for after that, that after the order of Melchizedek, by so much was Jesus made a surely of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death." Okay, and that's not what I wanted to read. Okay, let me see if I can go back to the scripture, the part that I wanted to read. Okay. All right. Amen. So while we're doing that, let me just see. I think it's in Hebrews chapter 7. Okay. That's not it. Let me see here. Amen. But the part that I really want to get into is the reason why the law was created. It was created as a measuring rod and everything to show us who we are and what the degree of where our relationship was with God. Okay, now as far as the law, like I always tell people, I mean, it's more than just the Ten Commandments. It's so much more than that, you know. They're just the Ten Commandments. And the truth of the matter that there was many that in the Old Testament Israelites that God had given these commandments or these laws to, whether it was the sacrifices that needed to take place or whatever the case might be and stuff like that, and gave them do's and don'ts. That's probably the best way to do it and the best way to talk about it. And it was impossible for man and the way that they were to keep each one of the laws, okay? Even though we may have tried, you know, even though we may have tried or attempt, because with the scripture, there's over more than 600 of do's and don'ts and vows and wills and all those kind of things that this Old Testament talk about it. So I wonder where I wanted to go. Okay, amen. So that was what the law was, and all through the history of the Israelites, and even into the time that, you know, people were stressed or tried to keep these laws. And Reverend Robert had said something earlier when we was in conversation that if they would disobey the in particular law, they have to bring a sacrifice to the priest and everything for the covering, for the spilling of blood had to take place with whatever the sacrifice was at that time. And Robin, I'm struggling and everything.
Go
but
ahead.
I'm really struggling. Go ahead. But because this is so important and everything like that. And I know that we want to get into every the details of it. But I guess the main purpose of what we're doing here today and stuff like that is to realize that we are under grace, because we're under grace, all right? But the law is still there. The law is still a schoolmaster for us, okay? One of the things that I realized is based on what I'm saying, I guess this guy started because of a conversation that someone has said that the law was abolished, okay? When Jesus came, the law abolished. But there's a scripture that says, let me go see if I can go to it real quick here, that says that Jesus said that, in fact, it's coming from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17, verses through 18. It says, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all is fulfilled. So Jesus is saying that he came to fulfill the law. What the law couldn't do for us, because we constantly needed a sacrifice every day. If you lie, or you stole, or you stole something, or you was lusting after something. If we were constantly needing a sacrifice, amen, to cover up that sin and everything that we committed as far as the Old Testament was concerned, you know, we needed something that was beyond that. You know, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. He said that he came to fulfill the law, meaning that he came to complete it. You know, the law was not completed. But what the law did for us, that it placed us right as a mirror, and we saw exactly what we were. Okay, but that's all it did. The law in itself couldn't save us or stop us. So we needed something more than that, and that's when Jesus Christ came, amen, to fulfillment of the law. Without Christ, and that's how the law ties into grace. Because if you remember during the Old Testament, amen, there were many things that took place that if you commit a certain type of sin or adultery or anything like that, I mean, even if you were like Achan and stole something, you know, there was death, okay? And there was death, or the earth swallowing up. Whatever it was, there was always death, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, okay? Death and everything. So what the law did, it exposed the sin that we needed to see. Okay, but because of Jesus Christ and went him down on the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. Okay, he died for you and he died for me and everything. And his death made it possible because of grace that when we do sin, that we can cry, Abba, Father, that we have a mediator between God with God. Okay, in fact, let me just read this. Let me just read the scripture. Again, coming out of Galatians chapter 3, verses 20, it says, now the mediator is not a mediator one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been the law. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin, okay, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Well, what was the faith that should be revealed? Jesus Christ. We were kept under the law and couldn't keep it. And this is verse I want to go. Verse 3 and 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, we are no longer under the law. Then that scripture that I was telling doesn't mean that the law is abolished, but because of grace, we are under Christ now. because of God's grace and mercy, we become under him. The law, the schoolmaster part is for those, and if there's a scripture that talks about that, Reverend Robin, that is more geared to if those that don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Master. Okay? If you never know Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you never repent, but that's what the law is going to be applied to you, because what the law does is because it's such so much of a mirror, it should bring conviction to the point that if that you repent, okay, that you realize that you're filthy rags, but you realize that you need something else, okay? The law in and of itself should bring a form of conversion. Okay, a desire to seek after Christ more so than ever before. So but after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. We're no longer under it. It says 26 chapter Galatians 3 verse 26 says that for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ. We are all the children of God by faith by Christ. He said, 28 said, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye all are one in Christ. Then there's a part with him that I didn't talk about earlier that we need to make sure that we understand. We're all part of one because we in Christ, because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That we have confessed with our mouth and believe in our heart. Okay, that he is the Son of the living God. Okay, so therefore we have accepted this. We have been grafted into this relationship with Jesus because of the promise of Abraham, but because of the love of God. Okay, because of the love of God, you know. And amen, amen. Oh no, go ahead. They lost me. Yeah. Mama says she lost me. Let me see if I can. Amen. Oh, she dropped. Okay. Amen. So give me a minute here. I'm trying to see if I can. Amen. Okay. Let's continue on. I think I lost Reverend Robin, but I'm going to wait for this. She is. Amen. Amen. So.
I'm back, Reverend Ray. Not sure what happened.
Yeah, it looked like you got dropped from the studio, but it's we're good. Amen. Amen. In fact, let's just take a breather for a minute, 3 minutes. But again, I want to, I'm going to go back and edit a lot of this out. Amen. A lot of the spaces out and everything. But again, I want to welcome everyone to the When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is the Bread of Life. I'm Reverend Ray. I'm joined with Reverend Robin. We're talking about understanding grace and law. Amen. And we just finished reading Galatians chapter 3 verse 25. Amen. And we was talking about, well, actually verses 3 through chapter 3 verse 20. Let me read that one more time so that gives me an editing part of where to go back to. It says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. This is 21. For if there had been law given which could have given life, really righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe it. The promise of faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. It's about our belief. You know, it's about our having the faith in Jesus Christ, okay? But before faith came, we were kept under the law, set up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. In other words, God had a plan. for us, because again, the law wasn't enough. It was just to get us to reflect exactly where we are. Okay, it was a list of do's and don'ts and stuff like that, so we can see, so that we can see even more so how much we needed God, how much we needed Christ. Okay, it says, verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. You know, and because of that law, many of us came into Christ. Okay, that's why the scripture talks about in the old and the new. I think it's in the old, that there was a during Moses and some of the old prophets times and everything. They yearned for the day that Christ would come. Okay, they yearned for that day. Let me read 24 again. For the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You know, because of Christ, we justify. It's not because of works. It's not because that we live so holy. It's not because of our DNA. It's not because of any of those things. But it's justified by Christ. You know, it's justified by faith because of Christ. Verse 25 says that, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under our schoolmaster. We are no longer under that schoolmaster. It doesn't mean, like I said before, that the law has been abolished. But what it means is that the law has been fulfilled because of Jesus Christ. The law has been fulfilled. The promise has been kept. We're under the new covenant. But that doesn't give us the right to go and sin and do things that's contrary to God said do. But what it does do is give us an advocate to the Father through Jesus Christ to be forgiven. Amen. And give us an advocate to the Father. You have anything to add, Reverend Robert?
No, go ahead, Father.
Amen.
I mean, it's just all awesome. If we stop to think that Jesus was always planned to come, and he was always planned to come to take care of sin. Beginning in Genesis 3 is truly the beginning of Jesus coming back, or coming, not coming back, but coming to cover that sin that had occurred. I mean, so, you know, all the law, all the prophets, all of that was the walkway to Jesus. It was, the law was not something that was ever to be permanent. That's why it's Old Testament. That's an Old Testament. We're now in a New Testament, you see, because the man in the Old Testament could not keep the law. And man in the New Testament who tries to do it the very same way cannot keep the law. You see, because with all of the ordinances, all of the coming before the priest, all the bringing of the trespasses, you know, the sin offerings, it did nothing at all for the internal man. It was all outward. The inside of man was never touched. It wasn't until Jesus that it came to a point where something could be done on the inside out of man. You see, because if law could do it, then Jesus would never have needed to come. But it says in scriptures that righteousness could never come by the law. Only thing that comes from the law is self-righteousness, hypocrisy. You see, because we can do a do and don't on the outside, but in our heart it's a different thing. You see, once we get behind closed doors and no one can see what's truly in our heart is what we're going to do. You see, but now we've moved from that place where law being now our schoolmaster to just show us, but with having Jesus, that thing can be cleaned up. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Robert. I also want to read, this is coming out of 1 Timothy. This is chapter 1, and I'm starting at verse 8. It says, but we know that the law is good, okay, if a man uses it lawfully, And then verse 9 said, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. This is what I was talking about earlier. But for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for, oh my goodness, then it goes on, for them that derive themselves from mankind, for men stealing, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Okay? He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. But again, it goes back to saying, but we know that the law is good. If a man uses it lawfully, but we just Reverend Robert and I both have discussed this with over 600 some ordinances, you know, and no one knows your heart and everything. But most people use the law to bring judgment or as a control, you know, or create their own side religion, that kind of thing. The law was never meant for that. As Reverend Robert has been saying before, and we both have been saying, it was only meant as a schoolmaster. It was only meant for a schoolmaster. And another scripture I want to read real quick. Let me see if I can say. Okay, I read that earlier. But again, I want to read this again. This is coming out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 18. He said, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. He said, I come not to destroy, but to fulfill. He said, I come to fulfill. Amen. In Romans chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, for sin should, and he's talking to us, this is him, Paul talking to us, he said that for sin should not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law. We're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Paul said, God forbid. Okay, but because we're under grace and we're not under the law, not then the law, again, is not abolished, but it has been fulfilled and everything, we should not be intentionally going about sinning before God. Okay, we should not be going about intentionally sinning before God because we're not under the law, but under grace, God forbid. Because I think there's a scripture that talks about, and Reverend Rahm, you can probably help me with that, that talks about, if we continue in sin, then we make the death of Christ, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't think it said in vain, but we make it of no effect and everything. If we continue, and the scriptures goes on to talk about that, how God would give over to a reprobate mind. I think that's the one I'm talking about, Reverend Robert. Okay, mm-hmm. And everything.
I just want to kind of interject because even as we are talking about law and grace, we don't want to put law on anyone, you see.
Right.
So, how do I say? So, no, we don't want to continue to do those things that are displeasing unto God. But we don't want to not do them based on it's a do or don't.
Right.
You see, it is the whole thing is that under New Testament, there is an opportunity for there to be an internal change. You see, and that internal change is what causes us to see the law, to see our transgression, and then to be touched within our heart that we are changed and converted, that we no longer want to do it. You see, and all of that is developed by relationship with God. All of that is developed in knowing that I have been redeemed and I have been saved and I have been set free, that, you know, I don't have to be the same person that I used to be because Jesus has come in to change my life, you know. And so it doesn't become that, oh, I can't do that because it's against God, and making it a law But it becomes, I no longer desire to do that because I can see God. I can see Jesus. I can see grace. I can see mercy. I mean, so it is an internal change. It's not a law. It's not an effort. It's not our own works. I mean, because Ephesians says that we are saved by grace so that no one can boast. You see, I can't boast in the fact that I no longer have a desire to do those things against God, because it's not because I no longer have a desire, but it is because Jesus has come in and my whole mindset is different. My eyes have been enlightened. Blinders have come off. Scales have come off. And those things that are displeasing to God becomes displeasing to me. Therefore, my walk is different because God has said that he's placing his laws and statutes in my heart and in my mind and causing me to walk upright before him. That has nothing to do with me. It has all to do with God. So, you know, even as we go forth and we talk about law and we talk about grace, we don't want to put anyone under a law to think that, oh, this is something I have to do. No, this is not something that we individually as men have to do. This is something that we're coming in under faith and we're trusting that God can do it through us. He can cleanse us. He can purge us. He can renew our mind. He can give us a new heart. You know, he can come in and make a stony heart supple. You know, we come in with that expectation that God is going to create in us that new creature that he says that we are. And so we no longer look and see ourselves as we are, but we see what we are becoming. And no, we're not becoming because of our efforts, because of our works. We are becoming because of God's love and because of God's grace.
Amen. And I 100% agree in everything. And that was going to be my next point to what I was talking about as far as the scripture, okay? Because we can sometimes use scripture to bring law on people, and that was never the intention of Christ and stuff. But anyway, when we're talking about right now, what Reverend Robert was talking about has more to do with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost in you, okay? Because you and yourself, we can't do it. We can't keep it. But the Holy Ghost, the sinner, the Holy Spirit can, and it will begin to minister to us to a point that those things begin to fall off. You know, they begin to do it. But in ourselves, the danger with that is becoming self-righteous, you know. The danger with that is becoming self-righteous about it. And that's not what we want to be, all right? We want to lean on Jesus Christ for everything that we do. We want to lean on him for whatever deliverance that we need. We do. We want to lean on him. We want him to do it. Because if I do it, you know, if you do it and everything, then I'll say, well, I did this and I did it. But if God did it, then you would know. People around you would know, yeah, that what God did, so. You know? No, the scripture that I think that would help out Reverend Robin, let me see if I can find it real quick. I wrote it down earlier. It's coming out of Romans chapter 8. It says, there is therefore no condemnation, okay, to them which are in Christ, okay, them which are in Christ, none, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. This is a spirit thing, you know. Everything that we're talking about there, it's a Holy Spirit thing. It's not your flesh. It's not nothing like that. It's nothing. In fact, the truth be told, it's nothing you can do. Because you can't, in most cases, I don't want to say you can't help because you should have some, I don't know about that, but it's nothing you can do. The only one that can do the things that need to break yokes and everything in you or anyone else is Jesus Christ. You can't do it on your own, okay? You know, you can't, you know, and have that holistic type of healing with his body, soul, or mind. Okay, now you could. There's people that do all kinds of things, but we're not talking about the worldly things. We're talking about things of sin. We talk about things that separate us, that has a we thing that separate us from the love of God. Because Scripture said there's nothing to separate us from us, God. But because that we're in a sinful world, that we always think that, oh, if I did this, then I'm separated from God's love. We're not. God still loves us, even when we do things that we know is wrong. Okay? Even when we have habits and situations. And again, to go back, that the only way that we can be delivered, amen, is through Christ. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's through the faith. It's through the grace and the mercy. He's the one. Okay? He's the one that will deliver us. In fact, Jesus already did it because on the cross he said it was finished. So truth be told, we just need to walk in the promise that it's finished, you know, with anything and everything that comes up, and not get caught up in the do's and the don'ts, and even when reading the scriptures, okay, because sometimes, like Reverend Robin was talking about, even when reading the scriptures, we can read something and everything to a point, you know, and then we apply law within ourselves, you know, and everything, instead of letting God do what he does best, letting the Holy Spirit do what he does best in our lives. We apply that law to ourselves, or others do it, you know. I'm glad Reverend Robbins brought that up, because others can do it. You can hear a sermon in a pulpit, and all of a sudden somebody's applying law based on what the Bible is saying and stuff and everything, and okay, all of a sudden now you can't wear pants. All of a sudden you can't wear pants, or you can't do this, or you can't wear put on certain types of jewelry and everything like that. Those things are law, but they come across the pulpit sometime, and you got religious or churches that are set with those things that you can't come in like this, you can't do this, you can't do that. And God don't have anything to do with that, okay? But to understand, the scripture says that come as you are, and that other than coming as you are, and then the Holy Spirit is the one that begins to bring forth not sacrifice but sanctification. It's not you, it's not me, it's not the preacher. We're gonna get into a lot of trouble about that, but it's the Holy Spirit that does it. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that does it because of the love that God has for us. That brings us to that place. It's not us. We in ourselves don't have that kind of power. You know, we don't have the power. If that was the truth, if there would have been no need for Christ to come. If we could do it, just as the scripture said, by law alone. We can't. We can't. Amen.
Amen.
The scripture said there is no condemnation. Now, there is therefore no condemnation to them which is in Christ Jesus. Which is in Christ Jesus, key word. We're not condemned. The enemy does his best trying to condemn us. Not just through the law Mosaic law, the Abrahamic covenant, different things like that, but also just through life. You know, we are our own worst critic at times. We'll condemn ourselves in a minute. You know, and everything for something that took place. But we always have that relationship or that Abba Father relationship because of Jesus. Always. No condemnation. You know, no one can throw you in jail. No one should have the power or the authority to put you on anybody's cross. No, it shouldn't be. No one could do that. Jesus paid it all, period. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, okay? And he did it so that we can live. He did it so that we can live, amen? Okay.
Amen.
Go ahead. You got anything else, Reverend?
Only thing that came to me as we've been talking is that, you know, we know that because of Adam, sin entered into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that because of Jesus, grace and mercy and forgiveness and life entered in, that we would no longer be sinners. You know, and so it seems that it's easier for us to think about our sin and accept that, that it is to sometimes accept that because of Jesus and our acceptance of Jesus, I'm now righteous.
Right.
Just as I had done nothing to become a sinner, we've done nothing to become righteous.
Yeah.
It's all our faith in Jesus Christ that we fall under the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Just as we fell under sin because of Adam. Now, we need to take all of that and to know that I am no longer a sinner subject to that sin conscience that came in with Adam, but now I am the righteousness of God. And so now my mindset needs to be changed. It needs to be changed to those things that are of God. It needs to be changed to spiritual. You know, it needs to go in a whole different avenue, in a whole different way, because I am no longer that person who is trapped under sin. I am now a new person who has life, and life more abundantly. I am that new person who is righteous. I mean, it may be that that righteousness hasn't fully manifested, but I am yet righteous.
Right.
Just as I was a sinner, I am now the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. That means now that I have a different perspective. I have a different life. I have a different mindset. I am a child of God. He does love me. He has forgiven me. I am the beloved of him. I shall spend eternity with him. I mean, the same way that we can accept all of those things that comes with being a sinner, we need to drop them immediately once we come into Jesus Christ by faith. And that is our entryway. Our entryway unto Jesus is by faith and faith alone. I mean, and the entryway and the only way we can get to God is through Jesus. And once I get into Jesus through my faith and belief in who he is, and my faith and belief that he died for my sin, and my faith and belief that I am now a new creature. I mean, I have to drop like a hot potato all of the other things pertaining to that old nature and take on everything pertaining to the new nature and to fall under grace and to know that I am being converted. My mind is being renewed. I am not the same person that I used to be. God is doing a mighty work continually in me, that I don't have to be subject to that old nature. I don't have to be subject to sin. I'm choosing at this point to be a servant of God and not a servant of sin. And all of that comes in by faith. All of it comes in by belief. That comes in, that's all comes in from a heart change. But just as we had fallen under sin, we got to just as much believe that I am now the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I am seated with him in high places. I am a child of God. He has chosen me. I am his elected. I am no longer the same, but I am changing day by day. Amen.
Amen. I like what Robert just said. That's very important, of realizing who we are, you know, no matter what. Realizing just who we are. Amen. I want to read, thank you, Robert. I want to read, this is coming from, I think it's from Ezekiel chapter 36. All right. And I'm going to start at, let me see. I'm going to start at verse 22. Okay, so Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22. It said, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathens, whither ye went. He said, I will sanctify my great name, which is profaned among the heathen, which he have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen should know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. He said, that when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. He said, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Not will be, but you shall be clean. From all of your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. And this is what Reverend Robin and I was talking about before, what cause you to walk in my statutes. You know, there's no effort on that part. He said, I will cause you to walk in my steps, and you should keep my judgments and do them. In other words, everything I'm saying you're going to keep because I'm going to cause it. I'm going to cause it to take place in your life. You know, not you, not me, not the preacher, but God. I'm going to put my spirit within you and cause you to do it. How are you doing all of this? How's it being caused, you know, through the love and the mercy of God, through the faith that we have been talking about, all these things is being done. I will cause you to walk in my session, cause you to do it. You don't have anything to do with it and stuff, but it's a cause. Putting my spirit within you. Okay? Okay. Amen. I'm going to cause you to do it. That was one of the scriptures that I had earlier and stuff like that. Let's see. We're almost out of time. We've got about 8 minutes. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Amen. Reverend Robin, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. There's a couple more that I think we're done. Okay. Okay. Amen.
And we need to remember as children of God is that it is the hope that is set before us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we not so much continue to look at ourselves, but look at the hope that's been set before us. You know, that you know, I'm looking at Second Corinthians chapter 3. And beginning at verse 11. For if that which is done away, now that which was done away, we have to think about that. And that's the Old Testament. That's all of the priests and the laws and the statutes. All for that which is done away was glorious. You know, God is saying that was glorious. Much more, that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such a hope, we use great plainness of speech. You know, get back to the simple basics of it. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look, you know, to the end of that which is abolished. You know, because we all remember is that when Moses went to speak with God at the tent face to face, he would come back and he would have to cover his face. You see, because he would go into the presence of God and he would begin to be transformed. He would begin to be changed with all of those things that God was sharing with him. But the people at that time, it was not for them, and they were not ready for it, so it was veiled unto them. You see, but for right now, you know, and it says the end of that which is abolished, so they couldn't even see the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts.
Mm.
See, the veil has to be removed now under the New Testament. The veil is gone. We are able to look in and see the perfect liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. It's a perfect liberty. But, you know, just as you began to read in Hebrews 7, it says, for the law made nothing perfect, mm-hmm. but the bringing in. That's all it was to do. It was to be the ushering in, to bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And now at this point, with what Jesus has gone, you know, the veil, you know, of the temple has been broken, we don't have to go through an intermediary to get to God. If we come in the faith of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly to the throne of God. We can come boldly to him. Just as Moses went boldly to the tent, we can go boldly to the presence of God, and we too can be changed. Because it's in the presence of God that change can occur. And so we have that ability that we no longer have that veil that separates us. We no longer have that. We no longer have the blinders upon our eyes where we can't look into and see the perfect liberty that was forthcoming and that now is through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we got about 2 minutes here, and I want to, again, thank you. You've been listening to One Christian Speak Talk Radio. This is the Bread of Life. Reverend Ray and Reverend Robin has joined me, of course, and we've been talking about understanding grace and law. We had a couple of hiccups in the broadcast. I'm going to see if I can edit those things out, but I do want to thank Reverend Robin for speaking and everything, for teaching and everything like that. So I'm grateful, and I hope this blesses you. You know, I don't know what we're gonna do next with this. I just feel that there's so much more to this, and I believe that we only touched not even nowhere near enough for understanding about grace and law and everything, and to realize that Jesus said it was finished. Okay, it was completed. The work is completed in our lives, and everything. And just believing and trusting Him and moving forth. And one of Reverend Robin's favorite things: letting God be God in our life. Let Him do it. You know. Sometimes we get caught up in works and trying to do this, and God, you know, God. I know God be like, "Can you just leave that alone? Let me take care of it." You know, if the price has already been paid, we can't pay the price again. No one can pay the price again. Amen. So let's go ahead and close out. Amen. And Reverend Robbins, you want to close out in prayer, or you want me to go ahead and do it?
Oh, sure. I'll close it out. Bless the Lord. Mm-hmm. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord God. Father, we come with praises and thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we did not have to die in our sin, Lord God, but that you sent Jesus so that he, Lord God, can be our propitiation, Lord God, that he would be our Savior, that he would be our Redeemer, Lord God. So, Father, we just thank you for that. Father, we are joyous in our hearts of having been chosen by you to be your children. Father, we want to come before you, Lord God, just thanking you and praising you and looking towards all of the promises that you have extended to us, Lord God. Our hope is not in ourselves, but our hope is totally in you, Holy Father. So, Father, we just thank you. I pray, Lord God, that we will continue to walk in your grace and your mercy, Lord God, because, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you said your grace and mercy is fresh and new on each and every day. So we can never exhaust, Lord, your grace and your mercy. So, Father, we are appreciative of that. We may not know until we come face to face with you what, Lord God, your grace and mercy has protected us from. But, Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it because we know that you have been our keeper. We thank you, Lord God, because we know that we can run into you and that we shall be safe. So, Father, I just praise you. I just magnify you. I just exalt and extol you on high because there is none greater than you. And, Father, we are privileged, Lord. We are honored, Lord God, to be able to say, Abba, Father. Father, we are privileged and we are honored, Lord, to have a hope beyond this world, that we can look beyond the things of this world and we can turn our eyes towards the hills from which cometh our help. And we know a greater help is coming from you. So, Father, we praise you, we honor you, we magnify you, Lord God. I pray blessings upon everyone who may hear this, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that for everyone who may hear that you will continue, Lord God, to draw us all. Give us a hunger and a thirst to come and have a tent meeting with you, Lord God, that, Father, we may, Lord God, run into you, Lord God, into your presence and be changed, that your laws and statutes, Lord God, will automatically be placed upon our heart, and they will come and become unto us as they are to you, pure and sweet, greater than gold and any silver, Lord God, sweeter than any honeycomb, something that we desire, Lord God, just to fulfill, not out of do's or don'ts, but just because it is, Lord God, for our good. It is, Lord God, for our nourishment, Lord God. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. May you always be honored, and may you always be glorified in the earth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reverend Robert, for that awesome prayer. I want to thank you for joining us on Christmas Beat Talk Radio. Again, this has been the Bread of Life, and my co-host, my partner over there is Reverend Robin. Thank God for that. Amen. So till next time, y'all be blessed and know that God loves you, and thank you for tuning in. Please share. God bless you and love you much. God bless you. Thank you, Reverend Robin.
God bless. Amen.